The cool scientist is here, Sean Duke. Good morning, Sean.
Hi, Declan, how are you?
I've been saying all morning about scientists have discovered that if you like cuddling kittens, they can actually, wait for it, kill you.
Sounds drastic, doesn't it?
Because lots of people say, oh, look at the lovely kitten and all this.
Yeah.
Kill you, Sean?
That's right. Well, this doesn't come out of the blue because there's a pretty, well, no, I think Pete the vet is going to be in here afterwards, but there are diseases associated with kittens and cats like toxoplasma and things like that. So this is another piece of research.
He's walked in.
He's walked
one
in.
One mention of his name.
Yeah.
I must be doesn't on, take mustn't much. I? What's this one, Pete?
I've been feeling incensed about this all week. It was such a misleading headline. Such a load of rubbish. Really? Really?
Sean,
I don't want to steal your thumb, Sean.
Over to Pete.
Well,
okay.
But I just to before Pete talks.
You outlined the story, Sean.
Yeah, well, the story that's outlined in the Telegraph, and Pete can tell us it's rubbish. It's basically this.
He writes for them, by the way.
Cat scratch disease. So people that are interacting with stray cats and they can get scratched by these cats. There's a bacteria that apparently, according to the Telegraph, can get transmitted then to humans. And in very rare number of cases, something like 4.5 people out of 100,000 or so can get seriously ill from it. But I'll defer now to Pete and he can tell us more.
Well, you see, this is the thing that, I mean, what they're talking about is a disease called cat scratch fever, which I've had myself. Because, yes, it's true that cats can carry a bacteria on their claws, so if they scratch you, most often if you get scratched by a cat, it just gets a bit red and then heals and that's the end of it. But sometimes you'll find, actually, oh, it's getting a bit more swollen, and sometimes you find you start to feel a bit unwell in yourself and you might have a bit of a headache. That's cat scratch fever. Basically, antibiotics fix it completely. Now, I've had that. I've been a vet now for over 30 years. I've had that once, despite many, many, many cat scratches. And the thing is that they've done studies to show that the number of people that need to be hospitalized for that per year is something like 5 per 100,000 people. It's very, very, very low. And the number of people who percentage of that actually get, if you like, serious consequences will be something like 0.2 per 100,000. So they reckon that the risk of dying of a cat scratch is about the same as being hit by a meteorite, which you, Sean, will be able to tell me is not very high.
No, it's not. And Pete, what about toxoplasma? Do you know that one? Is that?
Yeah.
That's another one that I've seen. Is that?
Yes.
You know, that could be more serious in terms of mental health, could it? Or could it?
Well, data is scarce on this. It's a little parasite that cats can carry, but it also is in fresh meat, and so it's not proven where people get it from. And some people with some psychiatric diseases, they do have evidence of a higher level of antibodies to this. So there's a suggestion that there may be a link between toxoplasmosis and certain types of psychiatric illness. But there's lots and lots of gaps in the story, and it's wrong just to jump to the conclusion that cats are the fault. Like, it seems to me that there are some people, it's like back almost in medieval times, when cats were accused of being witches' familiars, and people were delighted to get rid of them all. And the same thing applies nowadays. Some people just don't like cats, and so they jump on these stories and presume the cat guilty when it's not proven at all. Yes, like I say, one of the interesting things is that, like, toxoplasmosis is a particular issue for pregnant women. It can cause problems with the unborn child, for the unborn child. The incidence of that particular condition in pregnant women is significantly higher in France than in Ireland. And that's not because there are different cat behaviours in France. They're pretty similar, really. But what they found is that in France, you're far more likely to handle and to eat raw meat. I don't know if you've ever ordered a steak in France, but, you know, it's blood, yeah. It's blood on your plate, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, don't ask them for well done. They don't like that.
No. So,
all right, so
in other words, if a pregnant woman handles fresh meat, she's more likely, she's at risk of getting toxoplasmosis. So it's not just a case of getting rid of all the cats, because not all cats carry it anyway. It's a case of looking at the whole, go up, go and read up about the whole condition and read up about what Our health authorities advise people to do to avoid it. And that's a sensible thing to do, rather than having silly headlines that say, stop cuddling kittens.
And Sean was going to come to that. So,
sorry.
But
sorry,
the case has been rested, my lord. Very good. Okay. Yeah. Pete Weatherburn, you sit down there and be quiet now after all that. If you have any questions for Pete, he's in a right mood this morning. You can text in at 087-77-11-103 or get in touch with Claire right now at 0818-303-103. Thanks, Pete, for all the... the defense of the animal. No, you're welcome. Let's turn to something else, Sean. Better stay away from the animals. Microsoft claiming that they will solve cancer. This is not cure, but solve cancer in 10 years.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. Bill Gates is big into cancer. And in fairness to Bill Gates, who's Microsoft, obviously, he puts an awful lot of money into this, of his own money. So he's a track record in cancer. But now Microsoft, the company, have said that they're going to try and solve cancer. And they think it's something that they can solve, like a problem, inside a decade by cracking the code. And the code is the DNA, in this case, that leads to disease cells. And to then reprogram, if you like turning the computer off and turn it back on again. It's disease, turn it off, turn it back on, now it's healthy, that kind of thing. And to do this, he's recruited nearly a small army of biologists, engineers, programmers, and they're going to tackle this as if it's a computer bug. Now, they've opened labs, scientific labs, Microsoft, to actually do this. So it's a real thing. It's not just a PR stunt. They are investing in this. And what they want to do is to build maps of how the workings of the cell, inside the cell, how it works and how everything is connected to each other. So there's a funny thing happening, because it's nearly like the way an engineer would design a plant, like Guinness's plant, with all the engineering and how all the different pieces are connected. So they're looking at the cell in terms of the engineering of it. And like with, say, a big industrial plant like Guinness's, if there was something going wrong with the making of the beer, they try and figure out, what is it? Where is it? Where can we locate the problem? Can we fix it? So they're using that kind of methodology. The other thing that they're looking at is developing something we talked about once here, I remember, DNA computers, but these would be tiny computers made of DNA, if you like. And what they're going to do is they're going to go into the body. This, again, is Microsoft-funded work. They're talking about doing this inside the next decade, so it's not way out there. To go in, to look for the faults that are inside the body, and then to repair them on the hoof. So you'll have an army of these things going around your body. Now, will they do this? This has been talked about for a lot, but they are investing in it. It's going to be expensive, but the future, not just Microsoft, but a lot of people are talking about a future where, instead of waiting till we all get sick and we all end up on trolleys and we're all trying to get into hospital, that we're trying to prevent disease, and that means monitoring, perhaps inside our body, problems before they become a problem and to correct them.
So, wow, that sounds pretty useful. So 10 years on that. What about this thing? This is bizarre, and if somebody had said 10 years ago, perhaps this was completely impossible and just science fiction, but a Russian man getting a head transplant.
Yeah, again, it's not the first bit of news on this head transplant. The guy who's making waves on this, and he's annoying a lot of people, I have to say, Professor Sergio Cannavaro. He's a neurosurgeon. He is a doctor. He is a neuroscientist, and he is a neurosurgeon based in Italy. And he's been saying for a couple of years now that it's possible to do a head transplant. This story now has moved on a little bit, because there's a Russian man called Valery Spiridonov, I think you pronounce it, and he has volunteered himself for a head transplant, because obviously something like this, normally you would have clinical trials in mice or in animals, and then you would have clinical trials in humans. It could go on for years, but this man wants to put himself forward as a volunteer, and he's got a disease. It's an unusual disease, Werdnig-Hoffmann disease, and essentially his muscles are wasting all over his body and he can't move. He's now in a wheelchair, but mentally, from the neck up, he's fine. So he wants to attach his healthy brain to a healthy body. Now, Professor Cannavaro says he's happy to do this, and he's pretty bold in saying that he reckons he's got a 90% success rate. He says there is a risk, obviously, and it's a very complicated thing, but essentially what they're going to try and do is to get a donor body and attach this donor body to this guy's head and to re-engineer the blood vessels and all the nerves so that they're hooked up together, and that they will freeze the two, because that will stop, any problems in the operation. They'll do the operation, they'll cut the spinal cord in the one, the guy, the man, the Russian man, they will then place this on the body. They will hook up all the blood vessels and the nerves. They'll put him into a coma, refuse, this is the plan, refuse the spinal cord. He'll wake up then in a couple of weeks and he'll have a new body. That's what they're saying can be done.
Frankenstein, is it?
Well, we'll see. You know, things, never say never with science.
Yeah, indeed. Sean Duke, the cool scientist. One more thing, and it's the obesity strategy coming out today from Minister Simon Harris. In light of that, what about this? The obesity gene and its connection with weight loss and weight gain.
Obesity gene, there's a couple of them. There's one actually that a medic in UCD I reported on has discovered a gene, but there's several genes that are linked with people having more likelihood of being obese than other people. Okay, so we know that there's a genetic connection here, but what this research is saying is that even if you have the gene, it doesn't mean that you aren't, that diet and exercise and various things that other people use to reduce their weight will also work for you. So in other words, if you got a genetic test and you're found to have genes that would lead you to be more at risk for obesity, don't just sit back and say I can't do anything about it. That actually, this research, which involved looking at over 9,000 people in right across the UK, says that weight loss programs will be of benefit to you, whatever your genetics is. So that's a kind of an message of hope, I should say, for people, whether they have the gene or not.
All right, okay. Have I got it? No?
I don't think, no, you're pretty good. Don't look around this way.
We'll have to, we won't. Okay, Sean Duke, the cool scientist at seanduke.com, and you can read the science spinning. And he's thrown the cat stuff in the bin, is that right?
That's right. I think
the cat litter.
We've been put in our place by the vet, I think, this morning.
Yeah, good man, Pete.